Good morning and welcome to the very first image-based Linux and secure measured boot Devron. Bit of a mouthful, we try a shorter one next year. So let me start by introducing myself. My name is Luca. By day, I am a software engineer in the Linux Systems Group at Microsoft, where I work on the Azure infrastructure. And by night, I contribute to various open source projects. I am a systemd maintainer, Debian developer, DPKOTS maintainer, a bunch of other stuff that I forget and neglect. So I will give you the introduction to the dev room and an overview of all the topics that we'll touch on to hopefully give you a holistic view of what image-based Linux is. So let me start by saying thank you to all the organizers and co-organizers for this dev room, especially to Thilo, who unfortunately could not make it to Brussels this year, but he did most of the work on the FOSDEM website and CFP and so on. So thank you, Thilo, if you are watching. Now, some boring logistics. This dev room has a 5 minutes break between talks to allow to switch some spillover. We have a 10 minutes break at 10 past 12, and we finish at 20 past 2. Next dev room starts at 2:30. Now, in case this is your first FOSDEM, or it's not, but you never noticed, everything is live streamed and recorded. If you're not comfortable with having the back of your head recorded or live streamed, best I can suggest is to sit at the sides. If you ask questions, remember, again, they will be live streamed and recorded. If you're not comfortable with that, there's a Matrix chat. You can ask a question there, and our DevRoom organizers will repeat it for you. We do want people to ask questions. Please do so. Please do not just start shouting at the presenter. Raise your hand, and then we will come to you with a microphone. If you're a speaker and people shout a question at you, please first repeat it and then answer it. And I think that's it. Now, let's get into the interesting stuff. What is image-based Linux? Now, if you are an embedded person or adjacent to that word, you're probably thinking, what are these guys talking about? We've been doing image-based Linux for like 30 years. It's nothing new. And you wouldn't be completely wrong. Now, the difference is that our focus within these people, this ecosystem, is on the security aspect. Because let's face it, Linux runs everywhere, right? Most of our infrastructure and economy runs on Linux these days. All the public clouds run on Linux, even Azure. So we want to get our security story straight. What does that mean? What are some of the basic concepts? First of all, we want to have first-class support for at least one, if not both, of UEFI Secure Boot and TPM-based measurements, hopefully both. Because the goal here is to extend the chain of trust at boot. Now, if you are using a generic Linux distribution like Debian or Ubuntu or Fedora, the story in your firmware to kernel chain of trust is pretty well buttoned up by now, because a lot of people did a lot of work in the past 12 years to get that story straight, and they keep doing that to maintain it. So in your generalist distribution, you will have your firmware which verifies the first stage bootloader, which will be shim signed by Microsoft, and then shim, the first stage bootloader, verifies the second stage bootloader and verifies the kernel, and the kernel verifies the kernel modules. So if you are within ring zero, the chain of trust is pretty solid. There is this small little thing to the side called user space where things are not so peachy, and that is what we are trying to improve. So just a quick summary, we'll go into more details, but we want initRDs to be signed. initRDs are completely unprotected right now in most distributions. They are built locally. If an attacker or malware can get right access to that, they can embed their malware in there and you will be none the wiser. That's a bit of a problem. Same thing for your rootFS. It probably is encrypted these days, but that helps for offline attacks, not online ones. We want to do better there. One of the key requirements to use any of the specification infrastructure tools that we'll see is you need to have an hermetic slash user. What does that mean? It means your vendor tree must be within slash user. If you are in one of those handful of distributions that still have the top level bins bin or lib directories that are not symlinks, it's time to move on. Even Debian managed, finally, kicking and screaming, but managed to get into merged users. So that is a core requirement. Now, the people who work on this stuff kind of got together from various distributions, companies, projects, and we created this UAPI group. We have a nice website. We have a GitHub discussion organization with a discussion tab. There's already quite some interesting discussions going on there, so I encourage people who are interested in these topics to check that out. Now, what does actual image-based Linux mean? So this is my personal understanding and analysis, right, from my point of view. I see at least three different flavors of this. There's the pure image-based one. It's the one that I do in Azure, where you build images, raw images, and you ship to the machines. You have dmVerity to cover the root file system. I won't explain what that is. The next talk, we go into details. And then you have A-B schemes for upgrade downgrades. Nothing groundbreaking, right? Android has been doing this for 15 years or whatever. The second camp is the OS3 one, pure or RPM based, like Fedora Core, for example. What they do there is they build either packages or OS3 snapshots, and then they apply them locally. And you reboot into the next snapshot or a different one. It's like having a Git tree for your file system. The root file system there is either ephemeral or immutable runtime. I cannot remember. You cannot change it. You reboot into the new one. ButterFS camp, very similar. Instead of OS3, you use the ButterFS snapshotting capabilities. So you install a package. It doesn't get installed in your rootFS. You install it into the new snapshot and then reboot into it. The core thing I want you to take away from this is that there are different flavors, ways of stringing things up together. And that's OK. That's what Linux is great at, having this diversity. But the core important concept is that we share goals, we share tools, infrastructure, and specifications, because we want the same thing in different ways. So let's look at some of these specifications. Fair warning, there's a lot of acronyms coming your way now. I apologize in advance. Now, UKI, you will hear a lot about this today. Unified Kernel Image. What is this? A UKI is a single P binary, a UEFI executable. Why is it good? Because you mix a UEFI stub, a kernel, and an initRD. And then you can sign it for secure boot. Remember I talked about the initRD being unsecured before? This is how we fix it. The initRD is no longer built locally. It's built by the vendor and shipped inside the UKI. So it's signed, and it's verified as part of the boot process. I won't go into details in this process, because one of the next talks will tell you everything about this. So the UKI is dropped into the boot partition, or ESP. And then it's auto-discovered by bootloaders implementing the BLS, bootloader specification. What does that mean is that you don't need to configure your system to pick the UKI up when you boot. The bootloader will parse what's available, get information out of it from the UKI itself, and present you a menu. It's drop and plug and play, basically. So this is supported by systemd boot, and there are patches for grub as well. I think Fedora will ship with those patches, and hopefully they make it their way upstream. Another good thing about the UKIs is that not just we sign them and verify them as one, but also we can then predictably measure them in 2TPM in PCR11. So the hashes will always match. If that doesn't make any sense to you, that's OK. And Leonard later will tell you everything about TPM and measurements. I just mentioned it here so you have an overarching view of why this stuff is good. We want to do some future work here. But the important thing is the specification is at this URL. And that's for UKIs. Now, next one. This is my favorite one, DDI. Discoverable disk image. What is this thing? It's just a raw image wrapped into a GPT partition table. The good thing is that it is self-described. Each partition is tagged with a UID that is fixed and tells you what the purpose of the partition is. You don't need to say root equal dev sda5 because the partition is tagged with a UID that says I'm the rootfs. So, you also, because security is important to us, this natively first class supports dmVerity for protection. Again, dmVerity will be delved into later. I will tell you what it is. It's for securing the partition against tampering. all tools that support DDIs support the Verity natively. The other important thing is that given they are self-described, you just pass them to the right tool and they do the right thing that you expect out of the box. You put it in, if your disk where the ESP was is a DDI, systemd will automatically find the root partition by looking at GUID and boot it from the initRD. If you pass the DDI to nspawn, it will automatically use it for the root for the system of the container you're booting. You pass it to portable D or to a systemd service as root image, and it will be automatically used for the root file system of that mount namespace. You pass it to syssext, and it will be automatically used to extend the root file system. We'll see in the next slide what that means. So one image format, self-describe, give it to many tools, they do the right thing automatically. Security as first-class concept. Now, what's a syssext? This is important for the initRD talk later. So it's a specific type of DDI. It can be used to extend a root file system. So it will ship a slash user hierarchy, or slash opt if you're a third-party vendor, and it's identified by the extension release file, which matches the format of the OS release file that you're probably familiar with. Specification of this is at that URL. So you get a rootfs DDI, bunch of syssext DDIs, and bam, you get an overlayfs read-only that sums the content of all those images. And again, this is important for the later talk. Again, security, first-class citizen, the DMVerity support for all of these and all the tools that use these syssext DDIs. Same idea as before. You pass it to the right tool, it does the right thing by default. If it's your ESP, we'll see how it will be used to extend the initRD. If it's on var or etc, systemd will use it to extend your rootfs. You pass it to portable D or to a systemd service, it will extend the rootfs of the service or portable service. Again, with security in mind, so it's all protected, read-only, and enforced by the kernel. You pass it to nspawn, and nothing happens because we don't support it yet. We should add that probably at some point. Specification at this URL. Now, all of this might sound like the incoherent rambling of a raving lunatic, but I swear it's real. It exists. It's used in production. So what you can see here is the stuff that I work on. It's a PCI Express card that has an ARM64 system on a chip. It's used in the Azure hosts. So the machines that run Azure virtual machines have these cards plugged in, and the Linux hardened OS provides offloading and acceleration for the Azure nodes. So if you use Azure, you already use this DDI stuff, you just don't know about it. Because we use DDIs extensively, and we are looking into UKIs as well. So this is all real, it's all true. Now, to conclude, come talk to us. We usually don't bite. Here's again the URL and for the website and for the GitHub organization. So we want you to join us and embrace some of the secure way of doing Linux. We want you to help us extend the specifications. And also we want to finally get a world class of security bugs extinguished. And any questions? Yes, microphone.
Hi. How would you compare UKIs to FIT images from U-Boot, which also support signing and packaging all these parts into one single image?
Yes, it is actually quite similar. Now, of course, the U-Boot team. So U-Boot is a firmware / bootloader environment used by embedded devices, essentially. They support this FIT format, flattened image table, and they have very similar concept. Absolutely. The main difference is done with TPMs in mind. I'm not sure U-Boot does support that and measure everything. Okay, I'm not very familiar with that, but they are very similar concepts. I don't know what the main differences would be. It's just different environments, I guess. This is mainly for UEFI, and U-Boot is a specific bootloader environment, right?
It can also run under UEFI.
All right, okay. They're very similar, I guess, then, yeah.
Thank you for the talk. From my understanding, shims, we often in usual distribution have shim sign and grub sign, but mm-hmm. we don't have systemd boot sign mm-hmm. or ext linux sign or uboot sign. What is the plan in the future to have those sign maybe?
Excellent question. Now, there is a group of people working on this problem of UFI and UFI 2.0 and, you know, what everything that happened with the secure core PCs. Things are moving. I can't tell you much more than that right now. We do want to get SD boot sign for some internal use cases. So we want that to get that allow listed to be allowed to be used as a payload for a second stage loader for shim. We have not done that yet. We would like to have that done at some point in the near future.
Thank you.
So a kind of intermediate option is to have it signed by a certificate that is provided by the distribution, and it's, you know, like protected by the hardware security measurements and so on, but is not trusted by shim. And then you can self-enroll on the first boot and have like a trust on first boot thing.
Yeah, we've done a bunch of work on SDBoot to allow self-enrollment on first use. So you can always do that. Of course, it doesn't work by default. You need to do the self-enrollment, but it's a step in that direction. Yes, thank you. Anything else? Can you pass, please? Thank you.
If you compile yourself Linux kernel, mm-hmm. what you have to do then?
We in systemd 253 we ship a tool called UKiFi, pronounce it however you want. This will allow you to easily put together a UKi. Of course, in that case, you cannot sign with your offsite key. You need to do self-key enrollment and whatnot. But it is possible to build a UKi locally, absolutely. You need to sort out the signature by yourself, of course. I think there was at the back, yeah.
You mentioned, well, I saw on one of your slides the abbreviation DPS.
DPS, yes.
What does that mean?
Sorry, yes, I should have said that. Discoverable Partition Specification. Yes, told you there were a lot of acronyms. So that is the list of all the GUIDs and what they define, rootfs, Verity, var, TMP, blah, 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 etc.
Thank you.
Thank you, I completely forgot about that. I think we are 3 minutes. Any more questions? Anything online? Nope. Going once, going twice. Well, thank you very much then.